Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much. So for the message today, we have a special treat. I won't try to do everything today. We actually have two members of the congregation who are going to share a testimony of sorts with you. Their journey through faith, their experience here in the church. So I'd invite the first one to go ahead and come on up while I introduce them. I want to let you know who you're hearing from today. So our first speaker is Tanya Sanchez. And Tanya is a longtime member of Floris who has served in various ministries in the church and currently serves as our church council chair. And then after Tanya, we have Al Larson. And Al and his wife Nancy have three adult children. Al serves on the board of directors of Helping Children Worldwide, and he's the chair of an anti-corruption NGO. Professionally, Al was a U.S. Foreign Service officer. That's the second time I've struggled. For 32 years, and then during the last 14 years, he's been an international policy advisor at a D.C. law firm. So I would invite you to welcome both of our speakers this morning and prepare for a real treat.
Good morning. I don't know about you, but I surely felt blessed this morning with the music. So thanks so much to Megan and Joanne and everyone else. Really, truly felt blessed this morning. So as I stand up here in front of you, I now have the appreciation for why our pastors ask us to pray for and with them every Sunday. So I'm going to ask of you the same. So please join me in a word of prayer. Holy and loving God, thank you for gathering us this day. Please be with me as I share my story. I pray that hearts and minds will be open to its intention and that you help me to convey these thoughts in the spirit with which they were meant. Amen. So my name is Tanya Sanchez, and I have been a member of Floris for 20 years. Although my father is Catholic and we had a general belief of God and Jesus in our household, I did not grow up in a churched family. If you aren't exposed to something, you don't necessarily know what you're missing. But 20 years ago, I had finished college, had a good job, was engaged to be married, and despite all of that goodness, my fiance Jay and I felt that there was something missing in our lives, and that something was a relationship with God. Like many of you, our journey started with church shopping. We created a list of churches in the area. We were young with no other commitments, so we trekked far and wide, visiting multiple types of denominations and locations. And after our search, we came back to the very first church we attended, Floris, which was only about 2 miles away from where we lived at the time and the place where we felt the most comfortable. Thank goodness, as I'm sure some of you may agree, it's hard to get to church some mornings. Can you imagine if we'd chosen one in McLean or Arlington in D.C.? Talk about the Holy Spirit leading us in the right direction. I still remember our new member classes, and I'm grateful to see that the Lauderdales are here because the Lauderdales taught one of the sessions, and John Lauderdale lovingly likes to point out that we still joined Floris anyway. I was baptized at Floris, and then my fiancé became my husband as we wed. This September, we will celebrate 20 years married. We welcomed two amazing kids, Maddox and Sadie, who have both been baptized here and benefited from Floris's wonderful children's ministry and are now in our student ministries programs. 11 years ago, we moved to Ashburn, and some of our Floris friends asked if we were going to move churches. I couldn't even fathom that. So why Floris? Why do we choose to join and to stay? First, for those who know our family, my husband and I are an interracial couple. He's African American, and I'm myself biracial, Vietnamese and American. We knew we wanted to have children, and being in a place that would welcome us and the family that we wanted was important. There were a few things we noticed right away. There were kids of all ages. There were young adults, middle-aged adults, as well as older members. It was a joy to see multiple generations and programs for each. This was a place we could grow up and grow old in. Although there was some racial diversity at that time, more than we had seen in other churches, Floris was fairly homogeneous. Our deciding factor was that we truly felt a warm sense of welcome. This was a place where we could belong. At work, I recently gave a talk about creating a culture of growth and belonging within the organization that I work in. This describes an environment which fosters personal and professional growth, and one that provides a sense of team and esprit de corps, where teammates feel safe to come as their authentic selves, and where diversity of thought and ideas is welcome. Well, as I thought about Floris and as I was preparing for this talk today, I feel that's a great descriptor for our community. We have a culture of growth, where we're encouraged to and supported to grow not only in our faith, but as individuals. We also have a culture of belonging with lots of opportunities to choose from, to jump in and to engage. It's easy to come to church every week and to feel distant. It's when you jump into a small group, an activity to serve, or minister to others, where that true connection starts to develop, where our culture of belonging really shines. I like being in a church that leads through difficult situations, with transparency on issues like the LGBTQ debate that the General Conference is facing this weekend. We care about justice and the vulnerable in society, and we partner with advocates like Voice for community engagement. We care not only about diversity, but equality. Diversity is about having our membership reflect the community and the society around us, whereas equality captures the added notion of inclusion. The idea of inclusion of different backgrounds and cultures and perspectives help us to grow stronger as individuals as well as a faith community. These are just a few things we stand for which speak to my heart. A few years ago, our family had a wonderful opportunity to live abroad. We were based in Shanghai, China for 2 years. What a blessing to experience that together. People often ask what we miss the most. Without hesitation, I would say our church. It's not that we didn't miss our family and friends, our favorite foods, and the comparative ease of life in the U.S., but we had many friends and family visit us, and they brought our favorite snacks. We were fortunate that there was a church we could attend in Shanghai, one that was only open to foreigners, as in you had to have a non-Chinese passport to attend, and you had to agree to not evangelize in the local community. Wow, how different is that? We often take for granted our freedoms, our right to worship, our right to share our faith with anyone we choose to. It was an enlightening experience. Although I will forever be grateful that we had a place to worship, we never felt the same sense of connection, and I couldn't wait to get back to our home church. So Floris has blessed us in innumerable ways throughout the years. We experienced the blessing of congregational care after our children were born. For our son, a meal was delivered a few days after we came home, and a member of our Lenten small group gave us a beautiful quilt that we still treasure today. In 2007, our daughter was born with a life-threatening condition called esophageal atresia, tracheoesophageal fistula, EATF for short, which is to say that her esophagus was not properly connected to her stomach, and her esophagus and windpipe were abnormally connected. In short, she couldn't swallow or breathe properly. She was immediately transported to a different hospital and had a six-hour surgery the next night. We will never forget that right before she went into surgery, Mike Maxwell, who was one of our pastors at the time, showed up at the hospital to pray with us. We had never told anyone when her surgery was happening, just that she had been moved to Fairfax Hospital. It was incredible timing and brought us great comfort, God worked a number of other miracles for us through that difficult time, which I won't recount here, but to say that Floris and this community was a blessing to us then and continues to be today. Our family has benefited from countless service opportunities, children and student ministries, Lenten studies, family fellowship events, worship, and much more. I love that Floris offers programs to support us through life's opportunities and challenges. Floris also recognizes that ministering to our community is more than just worship and service. Several years ago, I remember the church hosting a financial seminar series. This had nothing to do with financial giving to the church. This had to do with the financial well-being of our church members. There were a number of topics covered, including estate planning, mortgage planning, and overall financial planning. Our family benefited from those seminars with lessons that have helped us be stronger stewards of the financial blessings we've received for our family and for God's kingdom. Recently, many of us participated in the StrengthFinders assessment that Ashley mentioned earlier, so living our strengths, and those small groups. These are activities that are designed to help us be stronger as individuals, allowing us to grow in all aspects of our lives, including our faith and the call to service that we feel. Wouldn't you agree that we each experience a deeper sense of personal fulfillment and satisfaction when serving in capacities that leverage our strengths? You often hear the advice, find out what's important to you, what you're good at, use your gifts to make a difference and earn a living. Well, why should this be different in the choices for how we volunteer and serve? I've had the good fortune of serving in many different capacities at Floris, from children and student ministries to being on a variety of different committees, and most recently with our church council and finance committee. I've had to adjust how and where I serve through different seasons of life. When my kids were babies, we were not serving very much. It took all of us just to make it to church some days. But as our children have grown, there have always been new and interesting ways to serve. I mentioned earlier that I work outside of the home. I happen to be in a demanding role in a fast-growing company with a team that spans across North America. This means I often work long hours and travel for work, and I'm sure many of you here can relate to that. We have two students in middle school. Their activities alone can take up a lot of our free time. So how do we fit it in? How do we choose? First, it's always easier to say no. Nothing is necessarily convenient in our busy Northern Virginia lives. If we tried to fit everything in, we'd fail. I believe God gives us our unique gifts and talents to serve His kingdom, and I believe in the mission of this church. With that conviction in mind, now, when considering opportunities to serve, I ask myself, does this take advantage of the strengths God has given me? Can I make it work? Not is it convenient, but can I make it work? Can I get to yes? An example is confirmation, which is happening now. I was asked to be a confirmation mentor to a student I've known since she was in Kid Nation. Initially, my thought was, no, you're too busy. You have too much going on at work. You live in Ashburn. How can you take on something else? But then I had to follow my own rules. I had to ask myself those questions. Does this take advantage of the strengths that God has given me? Yes. Can I make it work? Well, if her family can prioritize Sunday evenings when my own family will be at church, then sure, I can make it work. So here I am, mentoring another student, even though I didn't have time. But the truth is that the time was there, and I'm spending it wisely, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Each of us has been blessed with our own gifts. When we seek service that fulfills us, not only are we helping others, but we're being blessed ourselves. We're getting knitted even closer within this culture of growth and belonging. Society, culture, social norms, and mores evolve and change from generation to generation and across eras. Religion represents a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. It's about the service and worship of God and devotion to faith. Our denomination, which is devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, is on the precipice of change. None of us is sure of what this change will entail. Last night, as I was preparing for this, I went out to the official United Methodist Church website. Next to an image of the flame and cross, it says, "The people of the United Methodist Church. Open hearts, open minds, open doors." I value being in an environment that fosters open communication and debate. one where ideas can be freely exchanged and where we don't always have to agree with each other, but we can have respectful discourse and compassion for those with opposing views. We're here today. We're not at General Conference. We send our prayers of wisdom and strength and compassion to all who are convened. With that said, regardless of what happens at General Conference, my vote is for our church community, the one that was built 126 years ago, which has multiple expressions across three physical campuses and one virtual campus, for the community that has supported my family and given us opportunities to grow in faith, serve, worship, and enter into fellowship with each of you. When I was asked to speak today, and as I thought about how this community has helped me as a citizen of the world and as a child of God, all I have left to express is my profound gratitude. Gratitude is defined as the combination of thankfulness and appreciation. Appreciation means that you assign value or worth to someone or something. I have a great deal of thankfulness and appreciation, gratitude for this church, the community we've built, and for each of you. Thank you.
Awesome. Good morning. Jesus is the life-giving vine, and we are the branches. And for my wife Nancy and me, Floris is the community and the support structure that holds us up and keeps us connected to that life-giving vine. Without it, we'd be like the dead branches in our backyard, brittle and unproductive. So let me say also a little bit about our experience with Floris. We're first of all grateful for our pastors and the fact that they work so hard each week to prepare sermons that speak to us about scriptural insights and practical things that are of direct importance to our lives. Like many of you, Nancy and I often find that the pastors mysteriously have written a sermon that speaks directly to what we needed to hear that particular Sunday. And we love the music, contemporary, bells, traditional, the exuberant voices of the children's choir. It's all sacred and it's all important. We're grateful for the pioneers here at Floris who had the vision to establish Helping Children Worldwide, to address the health and education needs in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone happens to have been the first diplomatic post in which Nancy and I served. And we love the people, but we also shared with too many of them the heartbreak that comes from having a child die from a disease that could be easily treated in the United States. And so we're grateful for the partnership that we have with the Methodist Church in Sierra Leone, with many Methodist congregations in the United States, and with medical and health professionals in Sierra Leone to deliver vital, life-saving services and educational opportunities. 2 years ago, Nancy and I had the opportunity to go back to Sierra Leone for the first time in 40 years. And it was thrilling to see firsthand women carrying their children for miles to come to our village clinics. And it was exciting to sit down with two of the hundreds of families whose children go to school because of Helping Children Worldwide and people like you. We're grateful for all of us in Floris who lead service activities in our own local community. We know it takes immense love and hours of hard work to put on Floris Guest House each winter, which provides a safe, warm, and friendly place for homeless men and women to stay on some of the coldest nights of the year. We're grateful that Floris partners with Cornerstone to help families transition into housing of their own. This ministry has particular importance to Nancy and me because we believe deeply that at a very vulnerable moment in our own lives, God spoke to us in the middle of a dark African night through the song of the man that lived next door in a cardboard box. We are grateful to be part of a community that knows that God loves the vulnerable and that considers service to the vulnerable to be both an obligation but also an opportunity. We live in Reston, and we were privileged to participate actively for 18 months in Restoration Reston. It was exciting each Sunday morning to see an elementary school gym transformed into a worship center. And it was exciting to see the young families and children who benefited from that, and to see that now after a few years, that worship congregation has become one of the most vital worship congregations in Virginia. It's thrilling to know that this very morning, a similar exercise is being launched, Restoration Loudoun. And I think we've all benefited from Restoration Worldwide, where we can all worship with Floris, even when we're not able to personally be at Floris. Floris is part of all the seasons of our life. We love the baptisms when our pastors remind us of the importance of Christian education, and we're so grateful to everyone who participates in that effort to help build the character of the next generation of Christians. Two of our children were married at services at Floris, and Nancy and I feel greatly blessed that they and their spouses were able to begin their married lives together, stating their vows before family, friends, and God. About 14 years ago, I had a nasty accident. The way Nancy likes to tell the story is this. Well, it was April Fool's Day, and so Al went out and, well, the details don't really matter. But what does matter to me is that the first visitors when I lay in the hospital bed were people from Floris. We're grateful for all of us in the community, the pastors and the rest, who reach out and provide comfort and hope to those who have had dear family members die. And we're also grateful for the leaders and the participants in small groups. You know, we've been avid participants in them. Last month, one of the small groups that we were involved in was studying the Gospel of John. And one of the passages that we read about was the passage where Jesus told followers, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Now, those seem like very familiar words to us, not particularly challenging. We think about the Last Supper. We think about communion. We think about the real sense in which Jesus is the spiritual nourishment that sustains us. But for the early followers, they didn't have those experiences, and they were focused on eating the body of Jesus. Some followers drifted away, and the disciples grumbled, and they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" So Jesus went to the disciples and said, "Do you also want to go away?" John tells us it was Simon Peter who responded, "Lord, to whom would we go? you have the words of eternal life. I'm glad the disciples didn't go away. If they had, we wouldn't know about the story of the life of Jesus, his teachings, his crucifixion, his death, or his resurrection. And we certainly wouldn't have a worldwide United Methodist Church. And when I think about that, it's another reason why I'm so grateful for Floris. Because we have a senior pastor, Tom Berlin, who is not only involved in the international discussion about the LGBTQ issues that our church is facing today in St. Louis, but we have a leader, a peacemaker, really. And that's why I'm so grateful that our own church has been having an open discussion about these same issues. You know, 20 years ago, I don't think Nancy and I had thought a great deal about the issues that are being confronted today in St. Louis. After 20 years, our personal feelings and our personal beliefs about them have settled. But we know that whatever our personal beliefs are, that there are many very faithful and devout Christians in our church, in our own family, who have different views on these subjects. You know, our extended family loves getting together. We gather when we can. We reconnect. We try to help each other when we can. And that's not going to change, notwithstanding our different views. We love each other, and we're going to continue to love each other. You know, when I was a diplomat, I had a lot of difficult experiences trying to hold together international organizations and hold together difficult international negotiations. And I saw firsthand that it really doesn't work unless there's a powerful, unifying, shared interest that overcomes everything else. If people are willing to work together, do their part, and to search to find common ground. And I hope that that's what will be going on in St. Louis in the days ahead. And I trust it will be what goes on in our own church when our pastors return to report on the results of General Conference. I hope we're going to be able to consider together what our way forward should be, lovingly, thoughtfully, prayerfully. I hope we're going to be able to keep a focus on Christ. I hope we're going to remember that we have been blessed to be a blessing to others, and that it's important for us to be a support structure for each other. Because it's only in that way that we keep connected to Jesus. For my part, I'm going to remember, I'm sure, that at a time when the disciples were confused, and disillusioned, and tempted to drift away from Jesus, they were confronted by the stark question, "Do you also want to go away?" I'm really grateful that God gave Simon Peter the clarity of vision to discern that Jesus is the vine without which there is no life. And to help Peter understand that the role of the disciples as members of the first Christian church was to support each other so that they could each tap into the life-giving vine. So Peter answered for the disciples, and perhaps he answered for us as well, when he said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. To whom would we go?